And to all of you, I happen to be a member of the search committee, and they made me the chairman. And it was, and it is, because it's not over yet, but I believe we are there. It's a different experience. I grew up, or I was born into Anglican, which is Episcopal, Anglican in Nigeria and UK. That's what I was born into. And I never heard about church voting for pastor, right? I grew up just hearing that, oh, we have a new pastor. They just send a reverend to you. So this is indeed a unique experience. It's something different. And I know for most of us here, maybe Vicky and maybe Sharon, I don't know, who have participated in this kind of assignment. You see, the job of a pastor, if I use the word, the secular word job, it's a calling. It's not just like any other job. You have to want to do it. And God must have called you to do it. You just don't wake up and see, because you see all those tele-evangelists, right? You see some of those in their private jet and all those things, and you think they are celebrity and you just want to be one of them. You would definitely fail. So, when you gave us this assignment, you basically ask us to search the heart of whoever we are going to nominate. And so we did not take the job lightly. We know you are asking us to go between the member and God and pray and seek the heart of God, that what do you want for Westside Baptist Church? And one of the things, when we started the assignment, my prayer was, God, I've never done this, but I want this to be unanimous. I don't want a hung jury. Okay? I have proposed in my heart that if one person dissent, we are not moving forward. That was my prayer. And, well, for my other members, you may not know this. When we got to a stage in the interview and I said, okay, I want you all to go around and tell me, what's your level of comfort in, what's your decision? What do you want to do with Brother John? And they all went one by one. I was so glad. There was not even maybe or not or anything. It was unanimous. We prayed. And when we started this, I looked at the bulletin of March 29. We requested, we crave your prayer. And I'm looking at this. One of the things we said, that you should pray along with us for God's leading through the process. Unity through all phases. Patience and endurance through the process. Wisdom and discernment as we walk together. That is very key. Wisdom and discernment as we walk together. You know, and then we also said that, please read and pray over 1 Timothy 3:1-7. 1 Timothy 3:1-7. I'm not going to read it, but if you, your private time, you can open it up and read it. This is where the where we have a full description of the qualification of a pastor, an overseer. And if you go after 8 and on, you read about qualification for deacons too. And that this is the biblical passage that we based everything on. So it was all prayer, and we thank God for your prayers. But I want you to know that it's a great thing as members to be involved in this process. First, you nominated 7 of us to do this job, and we went about it. And we pray for discernment. But guess what? In all things, God has a way of making everything work together. One of the things that came up after we started this, or after Pastor Ben left, was the COVID-19. The COVID-19 gave us an opportunity to test, to see what Brother John can do. Okay? For many of you who may not have been in leadership position here at Westside Baptist Church, maybe you've not been in a committee or something, you may not know what it takes to run a church. You may not realize what it involves. Just look at the building alone. Okay? There's electricity to be paid. Okay? You are sitting, it's all cool here. Somebody needs to turn this on. And somebody needs to ensure that everything is working together. And one of the stuff after, it took me many years, I've said it and I'm going to say it again. I pass by and I see the sign, it has changed. Right? For a long time, I kept wondering, who changes that sign? It took about 10 years. I've been here how many years now? Like 8 to 10 years before I knew the process. And I'm sure many of you still don't know. You just see it change. You see, when you come here on Tuesday, you see some senior women. I'm not talking of young. Senior women, they do that. They go out there to do that. But somebody come up with the words, right? You need to find out. I'm not going to tell you do that. Who does that? So there's a lot that works together. There are decisions to be made daily. And I was joking with other deacons this morning. I said, you know what this COVID-19 has done? It has brought us together. I've been able to find out some stuff about my other deacons. I know one of them can't stand a crooked picture. That's a joke. Oh, you know who that is? Yes. you know the joke. And they found out one of us has never seen a Star Wars movie. Okay? We found out different things about each other because we have to stay together. We have to shoulder a lot of things. Within a short period, we had to keep the church open. We thank God who has brought us this far. So basically, Westside Baptist Church is going through a transition. And we thank God that we are standing. And my prayer this morning is that God will see us through. That Lord will lead us to where He wants us to be. And it's not over yet. And we have to stay together as one. We have to follow the process and let God lead us all the way. And it's no time for us to fall apart. It's time for us to focus on Him and not stop praying and walk together as a body of Christ. We need each other. And so this morning, I don't have much to say, but to encourage us as a body of Christ, as members. You see, 1 Timothy 3, 1-7 talked about the qualification, the responsibility, the expectations of an overseer, a pastor. Now, I believe we have addressed that, or we are in the process, and hopefully 2 weeks from now, we'll get this behind us. And then we cross over to another level and we move on and get the body together and allow Lord to take us where we want to be. This virus has disrupted a lot of things, but we are gradually coming back. For those listening to us online, I just want you to know that we are meeting in a responsible way. We have enough capacity to obey or to practice social distancing. We still have enough room for, if I look around, we can still take 30 more people and still be well apart. So if you are scared and you think, you know, you don't want to be here, you may want to check us out and see if you can fit in. And it's okay. We do wear masks. If you want to wear mask, it's allowed. We are not saying we don't want to wear it. So this morning, I want us to look at the role of membership. We've been talking about a leader, a pastor. But what about we look at ourselves? What is my duty as a member? What are my responsibilities as a member? Do I have a role to play here? Or it's okay to just say, they are not doing this, they are not doing that. The pastor should know this, the pastor should know that. What about you? What role are you playing? The first thing here is that we all have a joint responsibility to decide who will be our pastor. That's the first thing. But how can you be a part of that process if you don't attend regularly? If you don't have a commitment to attend. I understand some of us have work to be. You can't be here because you have to be at work. It is what it is. But there are others who think coming once a month or coming occasionally is enough. I just want to encourage you this morning that the body needs you. And this Christian race is not supposed to be run alone. We come together, we fellowship together. We get to know each other. We grow together. We build a body together. We have mutual benefit from regular attendance. And talking from experience, when you make it a habit, it gets easier. I tell people that I'm a night owl. I don't sleep on time. Not because I'm thinking of anything, it's just by nature. Okay? But so if I have my way, I'll probably just be waking up now. But my body system and my phone has become adapted to it's 7 a.m. Sunday morning. That is it. Something I don't do during the week, I do Sunday morning. I wake up. I'm here. And one of the things that assisted me is taking up responsibility at the church. And guess what responsibility I took up voluntarily? That I'll bring donut every Sunday morning. And bringing that donut, I have to set it up and make the coffee by 8:30. Okay? So I have to get up on time to do that. Because I took up that responsibility, it made me to become responsible. Okay? Because I know Mr. Jim is sitting down there waiting for the donut. And I don't want to piss him off. He looks at his, you know, remember he was a military guy. He looked at the time. 8:30 will say you are late. I don't want to be late. If you have worked with him, you don't want to be late. See, this is responsibility for us as members. Try it. You will enjoy it. It will become part of your chemistry to show up on time. You see, in Hebrews, let me get my verse here. I want us to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, reading from 24, says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Let us encourage one another. Encourage one another. You see, when I say regular attendance, let me extend it to saying that on Sundays, the service doesn't start at 10:45. It actually starts at 9:30. We have the Sunday schools, we have the, you know, the prayer meeting, the small group. And this is where, like the scripture says there, that is where we have the opportunity to encourage one another. That is where we get to know one another, where we get to pray for one another. That is what it's all about. We become a family. And what do we do? We watch each other's back. We hold each other's accountable. You see, I'm sorry to say this, if you don't show up on a Sunday and you don't get a phone call from anybody from the church, you need to ask yourself, what are you doing wrong? Instead of saying they don't love me, why is it that nobody even called me? You should look in the mirror and ask, do they even know me? Right? I mean, I know a lot of people here, if I don't see them on Sunday, by the time I ask one or two people, they will tell me, yeah, he's on vacation. I mean, the Brownies were not here last week. I know where they were. Okay? That's how it should be. When I'm not here, you need to, by the time you ask one or two people, they will tell you, oh, where Phoebe is. And likewise, like all the members of the search committee, I knew beforehand that, yeah, they're all going to be here today. That's how it should be. If for whatever reason you didn't show up, people will know where you are. And they'll be able to follow up on you and call you. That's love. But if we don't know you, if you sneak in and you sneak out, we don't even have your phone number. You don't attend any Sunday school classes. We just even describe it, you know, that person that sits at so-so place. We can't even recall your name. That is not right. You belong here. We belong to each other. We need to work as a body. So it's very easy to say, nobody called me, nobody cared. But you need to be involved. You need to be involved. And it's not just coming this time, 10:45 for the message. You need to come where iron sharpens iron. One of the other advantages of Sunday school classes is that it's an opportunity for you to ask questions. Right now, I am preaching, I'm standing here, except I specifically ask, we don't entertain questions. It's one way during the regular service, 10:45. But during the Sunday school classes, you can ask any question. You can change the whole topic in a different direction. 2 Sundays ago, or was it last week in my Sunday school classes, do you know what we discussed? We talked about, you know, this general saying that once saved, forever saved. So the question was, the hard question is, can you lose your salvation? Okay? After you have professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, can anything make you lose that salvation? Well, okay, I see heads shaking. I'm not going to answer that. I don't have an answer. But maybe you need to talk to Lai Osri over there. You can get in a debate with him. But guess where you have that debate? At Sunday school class, not here. That's where you have that debate. And that's why you need to show up. If you think you know it all, come demonstrate it to us. If you have all the answers, come up to Sunday school class. I have questions for you. Because I don't have all the answers. And we ask all the questions together. And we grow together. We pray together. We celebrate together. Okay? I'm still waiting when I'll make that $1 million and I'll come share with you at the Sunday school class. Okay? And give out some to those who may want from it. It's a time where we celebrate and we share together. This is one of the duty, the responsibility of a member. We are going to have election or vote in 2 weeks' time. You have to be here to participate. And next week, maybe you don't know who Brother John is, you don't know his family. Come in the evening. Come and meet. Come and do your own assessment. But first, you have to pray. Pray and see if you agree with the search committee. That's what we do as members. One other thing that is required of member, which is what I'm talking about today, is service. To put your God-given ability into use for the body. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a preacher. It was just a small clip. And he said something about that a church is made up of multitudes and disciples. Okay? I said, what is the difference? Then he said, he used the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus to back up what he was saying. That Jesus fed 5,000, right? He said, there they were described as the multitude. They kept going after him. But guess what? After they have what they want to eat, they left. And who were left with Jesus? His disciples. Okay? The disciples are always with the Lord. They are always there, every day, every time, together. But the multitudes, they just want to hear, okay, what has he got to say today? They are here from 10:45 to 12, and that is it. Okay? They don't even want to know what happens after that. They will come 3 weeks or something, and they will see on the sign, Reverend John Weldon. They say, oh, how did that happen? When did that happen? Okay? And you claim to be a member of Westside Baptist Church. That's because you don't attend. That's because you don't know how things work. One of the things that draw me and why I'm still here is my background growing up in Nigeria, growing up in a Pentecostal church, that's where I got saved. It's different. Or maybe because I wasn't close enough. I didn't know how things work. But one of the things I've seen here is that transparency. How things are run openly. In case you don't know, at Westside Baptist Church, the church is run by committees. And we have enough room for everybody to be part of the body. We have a finance committee. Well, Pastor Ben got me into it, and I can't get myself out of it. I've been part of that committee for maybe 10 years now. Finance committee. That's one committee. And I belong to, I have another committee that is, how will I put it? I don't even need to be elected or to be nominated. That's the Fall Festival Committee. It's something I do, and I remember the last time I said, you don't need to ask me, okay, whether I want to serve there or not. Just put my name down. It's something I love doing. And right now, I'm working on another committee. Right now, we have three members of us, okay? I am one. That's my other member. Vicky Parker is another one, and Lynn Blair is a third member. Guess what the name of the committee is? Outreach Committee. Okay? I'm going to move the vote during the next church council or whatever meeting to formally recognize that committee. We'll follow due process. I will move the motion, and I think I have enough people to second it. I already have three members. We need more members. Outreach committee. Because there's work to be done in that area. It's a job for everybody, but some of us need to champion it. And hopefully we have a pastor then that I know already buy into it. And then we go knock on the doors. Work, knock on the doors. So what am I saying here? There is something for everybody to participate in. We have the honorarium, I call it, or is that right? Honorarium, property manager. Okay? And I'm talking of Jim Lemke. You see, we have members here who are doing stuff. Whether they belong to the committee or not, they are doing it. And we should be appreciative of what they are doing. Okay? Jim Lemke has volunteered. He does it. He checks everything in the property. The air conditioning, or whether he's not a formal member the last time I checked of the committee, or maybe he is, I don't even know again. But if anything, if I see any bulb, I talk to him. I know Raf is the chairman of the committee. If I don't see Raf, I see him, I talk to him. Lyle is permanently the usher, whether there is plate or not. You see, I mean, that's how it should be. Well, I know some ladies, they are permanently in the nursery, okay? And we have people counting. Everything is transparent. For the younger ones, I'm glad some young ladies said, we want to be usher too. That's good. They are coming up. Please find your role within the body. Get involved. We have some committees that is not functioning because we don't have members who want to volunteer. And for those of you who are permanent members of some committees, please don't give up. Don't be tired. Let's encourage one another. Let us keep serving. I know the Lord is not done with Westside Baptist Church. God still has a purpose for us, and is leading us to a greater place. And we will get there in Jesus' name. But it needs the involvement of everyone to participate. So, putting your God-given talent into service is of great importance. In Ephesians 4:11-13, that's where we read about the various gift, the various let me see, Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 says that it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, we need all those skill sets. I mean, I always say I don't do children and I don't do announcement. Okay, I know my skill set. Yes, I'll do the numbers. Okay. And for those who are gifted with the children, thank you for your service. For those who can sing, not me, thank you for your service. So we still need more people, and this is something we all need to do. One other responsibility of a member here is, you know, this is in line with where we are right now as a church, and that is submit to the leadership of your church. Your, you know, submission to the leadership of the church. We have pastor, we are going to have pastor. The way you can make the job of the pastor easier is your submission. Submission is not talking of blind loyalty. Yes, our prayer is our pastor is godly. Our pastor listens to God. And when your pastor come up with a new idea and is leading us in a direction, it's for you as a member to be obedient. You see, we are to build a body together. We should not make the job of those in leadership tougher. We should make their job easier. And many of us, we come for counsel, and your pastor is telling you, well, this is my counsel, but you go in opposite direction. You are not making his job easier by doing that. When we come together, we have a business meeting or church council, and we agree. We can't all have 100% sometimes, but it's for you to be obedient and help promote unity among the body. That is what we need. And Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. Another scripture says that, obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. That's one other thing I want to encourage us. Now, I'll round up by talking of the one we all know about. We need to give generously. See, I am glad that I am speaking. How do they say that? You are singing to the choir here. This is one thing I'm proud of Westside Baptist Church for. During these past how many months? Okay, the COVID, 5 months now, how many months now? You would think, yes, our attendance has been down, but guess what has been up? Our giving. And we thank God for this. God has indeed blessed us because of you all. And we are appreciative. People continue to give faithfully. And I'm just seizing this opportunity to say that if you are not part of those givers, there's still room for you to repent. It's for the mutual benefit. It's a blessing unto you. God loves a cheerful giver. And like I said at the beginning, we run a transparent, everything is transparent here. The pastor is not a signatory to the account in case you don't know. So, The pastor is not a signatory to any account. We have members and we have control in place. You can't just spend any money anyhow. And whatever comes in is to maintain this body. We have only two people on payroll. Okay? And then this air conditioning, it takes money to run. Everything needs money. So it's not like we are embarking on some grandiose idea or something, you know, out of place. It's just to keep the body, the engine running together. So, my dear West Side brothers and sisters, like I said, I don't have much to say this morning. I just want us to know that we are in a moment of transition. We said in the letter we read that we believe God has called Brother John at this time. And one passage in the scripture that came to mind is Joshua chapter 1. That is the beginning of Joshua. As many of you know, or those of you who read your Bible regularly, or even if it's just the story you heard, Joshua succeeded Moses. And in Joshua chapter 1, starting from verse 1, God called Joshua. He said, "Joshua, now my servant Moses is dead. Wake up. You are going to lead these people." You know, Joshua was an associate of Moses. He was with him. And what a good illustration for us here. Brother John has worked 15 years. Pastor Ben was there 30 years. And he was his understudy, so to say, for 15 years. You see, I think there's a message in that for us. And I will conclude with what the Israelites said in that Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1, if you go to verse 16, Joshua 1:16. "Then they answered Joshua," these are the Israelites, "they said, 'Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your word," we are not going to do that here. "Whatever you may command them, whoever disobey you, we will put to death. Only be strong and courageous." They trusted the Lord. They know God called Joshua. And they totally submitted to the will of God. So, and they said, "Whatever you commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go." And they ended by saying, "Only be strong and courageous." Westside Baptist, I know in my heart God has called Brother John. And I want you to pray and confirm, just have confirmed in my own spirit, that this is the wish of God for us. And all I'm craving of us right now is obedience. Just as we supported Pastor Ben, that we will support him. And we will pray for him. And pray for him to continue to be obedient. You know, one thing I'll just say, and I'll close here, is that, trust me, we went through a due process in coming up with this nomination. It wasn't just something we've sat down and said it's done. We prayed. We went through 2.5 hours interview, drilling him, asking Brother John all questions. 2.5 hours. You would think we know him. We did not just take it for granted. You know, one of the questions is, are you taking up this job because the position is just there? Or is it a calling? And we had his response. We got 3 references, you know, from pastors and others to tell us, what do you know about John? And one of the letters I will not forget says that, you know, from his prayer partner that says that, well, he knew John prayed for a whole month before he even put in his application. He was asking and praying, Lord, is this what you want for me? So we believe it's a calling. It's not just a job. And I am praying that we support him. I am praying that we pray for him. And like the Israelites said to Joshua, our prayer to him should be to be strong and courageous. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the leading of the Spirit. We thank you for what you are doing here at Westside Baptist Church. Lord, personally, I am thankful. I am grateful for this opportunity to be part of this all. It is indeed a blessing. Lord, you gave us opportunity to trust you more. You gave us opportunity to look up to you for your leading. And Lord, we thank you for answered prayer. Lord, we thank you as you take us through this journey. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be with us. Let us continually be obedient. Let your Spirit continue to guide us. Lord, we pray for Brother John at this moment. We pray for his family. Pray, Lord, that you'll be with him. Be with him. Give him that courage. Help him in his weaknesses. Help him that, Lord, that which you have called him to do, you bless him and be with him. And Lord, today, we pray, Lord, that you strengthen members here. Strengthen us as a member, individually, as collectively. Lord, we thank you for those who are visiting with us today. We thank you for those who are listening here today. Lord, perhaps there is anyone in our midst today, anyone under a voice that has not come to that stage in their life, that has not accepted you as Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, I invite you to touch that person today. Lord, reveal yourself to that person here today, that you are Lord and Savior, that it's only you, that salvation is only in your name, Jesus, that it is not by strength, it's not by might, it's only by your grace, it's only by the work, by the shedding of your blood on Calvary. That is the only way we can be saved. And if you are that person here today, please say after me. It's just a simple prayer. Say with me that, Lord Jesus, I come today in realization that I'm a sinner. I come today, I now know that I cannot save myself. I come today to trust you. In the knowledge that it's only in your name that I can be saved. And I call upon you, Lord Jesus. I come to pray that you save me. Forgive me of my sins. And Lord, save me. If you are here today and you said that prayer, you are a new creature. You are born again. Tell somebody, come up here. I'll be glad to hear you out. And I'll be glad to pray with you, to talk about the next process in this journey. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for your spirit that has moved within us today. And Lord, we give you all glory. We give you all praises. We give and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.